Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Outpost for the week is freshly delivered once again, and I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she is every single week, Treya Kaufman.
Hey!
Hi! Oh, it's one of those weeks, right?
Yep. It sure is. It sure is.
Oh, man. Well, this chapter, we're already at chapter 8. I feel like we're flying through the Half-Blood Prince here, but we've got Snape victorious. Before we do dive into the chapter, thank you so much for joining us here on Owlpost. Help support the show in every way possible. One of those ways is making sure you give us a review over on Apple Podcasts. Let people know what you think of the show. Wherever you get your podcast, it really helps out the show if you're subscribed. And you get the show as soon as it drops, too. Then you can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. So follow us there. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdparty. Check out thenerdparty.com and send us an email over at thenerdparty.com/contact. So, Drea, well, Harry is lying in a pool of his own blood.
Yeah, and the name of this chapter kind of summarizes how I feel about it. It's not great. But yeah, so we start and Harry is just bleeding out into his mouth. That's awesome.
Pretty awful.
Yeah, like it really is.
And I love the thought process that Harry kind of has going, which is, okay, so nobody knows I'm here. You know, Hermione and Ron have prefect duties that they won't realize I'm there till it's too late. And this train is going to leave and I'm still going to be here. And who knows when this blood is going to stop.
Well, and
I can't do anything about it.
Right. And then I like also at some point he's like, and I'm in a fairly compromising situation. It's a little embarrassing. I don't really want anyone to find me like this.
It is pretty embarrassing, honestly. I mean, he got his nose kicked in. He got taken by Malfoy. It's pretty awkward.
Yeah. I kind of feel for him. Like, I would not want to admit that either. Like, I would also feel really embarrassed and... like, oh,
and not only that, but there's this really interesting moment where he's like, oh, maybe I can summon my wand with like, because I know that you can do spells by without speaking. Maybe I can do that. So he's like trying to get his wand to come to him and it's not happening. And so I kind of liked being reminded that there is a type of magic that we haven't seen these kids be able to do yet, which is magic where they don't have to speak out loud the spell.
Yes.
It does let us know that there is still a level to which these kids have not reached yet. And it makes me really interested then. Honestly, that tiny little tidbit makes me really interested to see if they will be able to reach it in this book or maybe even the next.
Yeah, I did. I also agree that it's also nice to see something Harry can't do. But I also really love this idea that he's like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what it takes, but you know what? I'm damn well going to try. And I just love that like attitude, right? That's something that I really look for in like coworkers and friends. And it's like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to be clever. And I just love that moment where he's like, you know what? Why not? I can't lose anything. I'm already super like awkward and, oh, well, let's see what we can do. And he tries so hard and it just doesn't work. But then sort of this mysterious savior comes to help him out. And he's like super duper confused.
Well, and it turns out it's Tonks. So now we figured out where Tonks is. You know, she's been assigned to, you know, guarding here at Hogwarts, which is great. And really nice that she's the one that's there because she's not going to make a big deal out of it. She also isn't actually looking as good as normal. Like, she's kind of looking miserable and mousy haired. She doesn't have the vibrance that she normally has. But she does, luckily, fix his nose, which definitely feels better for him. And then she tells Harry, you know, put your cloak back on. We're going to make our way up. And then she sends off a Patronus to send a message that she's found Harry. And so she's actually stationed here at Hogsmeade. So that's her job now. And what's really interesting too is that we learn some of the other Aurors that are here at Hogsmeade, and one of them is called Proudfoot, and the other one's Savish, and Dawlish is there too, which is interesting because he actually attacked Dumbledore last year, so a little strange.
Well, and I do like how she explains that she realized he was on the train, and I love that they have to jump off the moving train, right? Like, that train's on a schedule.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
It's not waiting. He's got to jump. But
it makes it feel like a great, like, Western movie. Oh, we got
to
jump!
Right? It also just kind of shows that there's no time to waste. She's not wasting it. You know, we're going to do what we got to do. But yeah, I love that she basically explains it like, hey, so I was watching your stuff and your stuff came off and you never came off the train. So I figured you had to still be on the train somewhere.
Well, and what I kind of like about that is, what do we learn here about Tonks? She's really observant. Like, she's doing the job that she's been asked to do. And I think what I learn here is that Tonks is somebody that can be trusted.
Yeah, and she's very good at her job, right? Because the other thing she notes is that she just started looking. She had no idea where he was. And the reason she picked that particular car was because the drapes were drawn. And she thought that was odd. Like, it's just the little things. It was just such a nice little touch. Like, and he doesn't question it. And she just gets him going. And they, you know, hike their way on up to the gates. And, you know, I love that Harry tries to open it with Alohomora. And she's like, oh, that's not going to work.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. It's also quite interesting because what we also see here is that it is not anybody that Harry would want to have coming to get him. It is Snape.
Nobody wants Snape to be the one. Well, maybe Malfoy is, but nobody wants Snape to be the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just awful.
Well, and then he says something interesting because they kind of have their back and forth, right? He takes a bunch of points away from Gryffindor and makes some snide comment about he's never seen a class start in the negative the beginning of the year. Although I'm pretty sure the year they did the flying car into the Whomping Willow, they started in the negative.
Yeah, I feel like that too.
But sure. But then he says something that we don't really know what it means yet, but clearly really shocks Tonks and really kind of shakes her to her core a little bit. He says something about, like, he was really interested to see her new Patronus, which I don't think we knew Patronuses could change, and that he thought it looked weaker than her last one. And then he kind of turns on his foot and takes Harry and walks away. And there's a moment where they say that the light hits Tonks' face and she's just shocked by what he said, which we have no idea of the context of what it is. And we don't even know what her Patronus was. But it clearly means that Snape sort of crossed a line with her. And that she was not expecting that. So that's kind of another, we're talking about, she's starting to lay the puzzle pieces and build the mystery a little bit. This is adding to that mystery of, like, why Tonks looks so different and such like a shell of who she used to be.
Yeah, you know, I found it fascinating that mystery. And so it's interesting too, because as they walk back, you know, like you said, Snape kind of taunts Harry, basically. He gets back. He won't let him go upstairs and change or anything. So he has to walk in. He's covered in blood. Luckily, Hermione takes care of that for him.
Well, and he mentioned something about, like, not putting on the invisibility cloak as Harry was thinking of it. And he was like, it's almost as if he read my mind. And I'm like, in the last book, we know he can do that. So, yeah, he probably...
That's true.
He probably did.
Yeah.
You probably should watch that, but sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny that Harry forgets how good Snape is at legilimency.
And how good you are at saying that word, because I would not come even...
Yeah. You know, Harry is not at blocking his mind either, so... It's interesting too, because I love Harry's, like, so did, you know, because he missed the sorting and the hat have anything interesting to say? And they're like, more is the same, really just advising us to unite, face all our enemies, you know.
Blah, 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 blah. I think they even say kind of a blah, blah, blah.
Yep. It's really funny. There are some interesting things happen here in the chapter. We see that Professor Trelawney is actually at the dinner, which is very unusual for her. She doesn't normally show up at things. And so she's actually down here at the dinner, which, you know, leads Harry to thinking to himself how much different he kind of looks at her now, because he'd always kind of considered her a fraud. But now he knows that actually there is a part of her that can prophesy. So it's a little, I mean, he won't be in her class anymore.
And he was like, oh, thank goodness for that. But we also have the fact that Hagrid was also late to dinner, but that he's there by then. And I love that they describe him like kind of frantically fanboy waving to Harry and Ron and Hermione. And he seems so, so excited to see them. And that McGonagall sitting next to him just looked so disapproving about this like so outward funny show of affection that Hagrid's doing. And it's like just a reminder, it's a reintroduction of her character in a very quick, subtle way that she's kind of no nonsense, and that she's just like, ugh. Like she loves Hagrid, but ugh, right?
Yeah, it's so funny.
It is. Well, it's, and
there's
really
that
funny.
There's that great moment with Nearly Headless Nick, where he's talking about how Harry Potter can trust him and confide in him with complete confidence, and how he would rather die than betray his trust. And then Ron has one of the best lines in any of the books when he says, it's not saying much since you're already dead.
And then he says something like, as per usual, the show of tact that you have. He basically lays into him like, yes, just like you, to be totally insensitive. Mm-hmm. It was pretty funny.
We also have everybody kind of seeing the fact that Dumbledore's hand seems to be very injured, and if not kind of looking deadish, like it looks like it's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which creates a lot of conversation for everybody. And this is where we get the introduction with the message from Dumbledore that, well, the reason that Slughorn is here is not to be the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. He is here to be the new Potions Master.
And I love that Ron and Hermione are like, but you said, Harry. And he's like, I thought.
I just assumed. Yeah. You know what they say about assuming?
Yes, yes, I do. I do find it interesting, though. This is kind of one of those moments where I think Harry's beef with Snape goes a little beyond what you would normally think of, because he actually says something like, well, it's not a problem. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And they're like, well, he's going to be gone within a year. I mean, the job is jinxed. He's like, I hope he's dead. And everyone was like, whoa, whoa, you took this too far, Harry, too far. And he kind of agrees with them. But at the same time, he's just like, I guess, but maybe not. You know, he clearly has it out for Snape.
On the moment that Dumbledore says it, he yells out really loudly, and the whole place hears him. He says, no! Like, loudly enough to turn enough heads in his direction. So, yeah, this is not something that he's pleased at, you know?
Well, it's like the one class he's always enjoyed that's now going to be filled with the person he likes the least. And it actually kind of, you know, feeds into last chapter, you know, we didn't mention, but Luna had asked when the DA lessons were going to start up again this year, and he was kind of like, well, I don't think we need it now, right? And I feel like he's maybe questioning that a little bit this time. I was like, maybe we should keep having DA lessons now that, you know, now that Snape is teaching Defense Against the Dark Arts. But yeah, it's still an unpleasant situation for everyone, and he just can't stand the look on Snape's face. And I'm with him, the smug look that he has, like he's finally won. That I just, yeah, I'm with Harry. I don't want to see that.
I mean, who would? Not good.
Yeah.
Just not good.
Agreed.
I do really like, you know, Dumbledore has a really interesting message at the end, and he says how he can't emphasize enough how everything that can be done to keep the students safe at this time has been done, and that we need you guys to respect that.
Right.
Like, we need you guys to take this seriously, and that if you're seeing anything out of the ordinary, that, you know, you report it right away, and that, you know, you regard each other well and look out for the safety of each other. And I feel like that's a really, you know, Dumbledore, he takes a good moment here to really remind the kids of the dangerous situation they're in, and the fact that going outside the lines, this year could legitimately end in your death. More so than any other year, you need to behave.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's always been the one who never really sugarcoated it for the kids, right? And so I think this is that where he sort of, it felt like a little bit like he was cashing in on that, right? Like, I've always told you the truth. I've mm-hmm. always been very open with you about what's going on. So in this case, I need you to trust me and trust what we've put in place, that it's for your own good, right? Like, it's almost like he's been earning this and now he's cashing in on it in his request, because it's less about telling the kids something important and more about telling them they need to listen to him. So it was a sort of a slightly different message than they've had before, but it is important. And I always love that he asked them to take care of each other, right? Which is what essentially, by asking them to look out for each other and report things, he's basically saying, like, you guys need to also have each other's backs, which is what the Sorting Hat has been saying for the last couple of years now.
Yeah. It's very true. I like to hear that we have the conversation. Ron and Hermione kind of learn why Harry was late, and, you know, he's trying to explain what Malfoy is saying, and they're not really buying it, you know, and Harry's frustrated again that nobody's listening to him. And they also run into Hagrid, who he tells them why he was late, and he's been hanging out with Garp, who has been up in the caves where Sirius had been staying when he was here, and he's been really enjoying it. He's liking it a lot more. He's apparently learning a lot. And Hagrid's even talking about how, you know, he might even train him up to be his assistant, and how he can't wait for them to see Witherwings again. And all of the kids realize as Hagrid walks away, and this is actually the end of the chapter, that they aren't going to be in care of magical creatures, and he feels bad because Hagrid's three favorite students aren't going to be there.
Yeah, that this is the year none of them were going to take that again. And it's like, well, because Hermione wasn't there, I don't think. I think it was just mm-hmm. Harry who's like, oh, yeah. I know none of us are taking those classes this year. Like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? But yeah, it's again that moment where you're like, he cares about them, but like Harry cares about Hagrid. But oh my, oh no.
Yeah, it's one of those moments too, you know, and I think it's interesting because I think we've kind of, it's one of those moments that, like, growing up, right? And you have that thing that your friend is really into, but you're not, you know, and you kind of have to finally make that break in that, like, you can't pretend anymore. And so this is kind of going to be that year where they have to make that break with Hagrid in that sense, where we don't have to take this class anymore. And it's not the class that really interests us. And so it's not about you, Hagrid. It's just, you know, so I think that's really interesting. And it's an interesting place to kind of leave the chapter because, you know, like you said, it's a chapter that's just kind of like, it really is a melancholy chapter. Like, so much of the last two books now have had these type of moments where it's like Snape has seemed to have won the danger we've been reminded of, and nobody's listening to Harry again. And so just it is kind of like a little bit of a downer of a chapter.
Yeah, it's every time you seem to think one issue is resolved or wrapped up, just another one gets piled on, right? He gets his face cleaned up. He tells Ron and Hermione what he heard, but then they don't believe him. And then he realizes that no one's taking Hagrid's class. Mm-hmm. And then he learns that Snape is going to be the DA teacher, and just like one thing after another, that he's just like, it's almost like, I just can't win. And it's such a downtrodden way to leave this chapter, because you know Harry just probably went like and hung his head and went to bed. So it'll be interesting to see in the next chapter when we pick up where we pick up and what Harry's going to do about it.
Yeah, it really is. And so the next chapter is chapter 9, The Half-Blood Prince. I always love when we get to the chapters named for the books. So really interested to dive into that one next week. But before we do, Drea, where can everybody find you online?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's COFFMAN.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, and Vero under the name MattRushing02. You can also find me here on the network doing aggressive negotiations with John Mills. We talk about Star Wars each and every week, and with The Mandalorian having started, we've got so much new content to talk about, as well as everything that's going to be coming out with Star Wars. You can find me over on the Trek FM network doing two shows. One I do with Chris Jones. It's called The Orb. We do that when we can get a chance. We talk about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. You can find me doing the 602 Club, our general geek show, talking about all of the fandoms that we love. And then last but not least, I talk about films through the lens of faith. And I do that with my friend Courtney. It's called Cinema Stories. But we want to thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.